Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Do you guys remember when long distance phone calls were a really big deal? If you were going to call somebody long distance, man, you better break out your piggy bank if you were a kid, because mama was going to want you to pay for those long distance phone calls you were making. John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us here on this Wednesday. Oftentimes we you know, we'll have John join us on a Tuesday, but of course we had our big Veterans Day program yesterday. So John, thanks for being with us here on this Wednesday. But John, do you remember when long distance phone calls were a really big deal?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, you remember the games. I remember being a kid, and we would drive back to my folks' house from my grandparents, and they would do this thing where they would ask the operator to break in, and that was their call to make sure you got home, but so they didn't get charged for a long distance call. You remember that?
That's old school.
Do you remember roaming?
That's old school. Even I don't
remember roaming charges.
Oh, I remember roaming charges. Yeah, that's a little bit newer school. But even I'm not old enough to remember when an operator would break in like that. Though I remember doing what would you do? Where you would call somebody and you could charge the long distance call to them instead. Right. What did they call that? Who knows? But the reason
you make a collect call.
A collect call. There we go.
Yeah, you tell the operator collect call to this number, and then on the other end they would pick up and they would say no, we don't want to pay for that. But see, now you got the confirmation that your loved one got home.
Yep. Oh man, long distance phone calls. Yeah, I mean the bill would rack up really fast, right? You could just be calling somebody on the other side of the state and the bill would be racking up real fast. Well, the reason why I'm thinking of long distance phone calls is because, you know, if you wanted to call Washington, D.C. from Bozeman, back in the day, that would have cost you a lot of money. Today, you can do that free of charge, free of charge. And yet, I saw this headline where the Montana Democrats, they were wanting to hold a special session of the legislature to try to get the state of Montana to pay for food stamps. And John, if I recall, it costs about $100,000 a day to do a special session of the Montana legislature. That is a big bill for a long-distance phone call. So it's like you guys couldn't even place a free phone call to Chuck Schumer in Washington, D.C. to stop the Schumer shutdown of the federal government, but you were willing to spend $100,000 to do a special session. Wow.
It's amazing that they enjoyed putting spotlights on these things, because them screeching about SNAP and their food stamps, everybody just saw the statistics of 42 million people in this country on our food welfare and 60% of illegal alien households on it. And I mean, if that was me, if they should have just been quiet about that. That was a really dumb maneuver on their part.
Oh, man, I think it was last week. I was out, but I saw some of John Jackson's tweets. The news media was interviewing some of the people that were starving because they didn't get the food stamp money. Let's just say some of these folks were not starving. Quick break. Back with Montana Talks, taking your calls and more after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, John hit the nail on the head here talking about the federal government shutdown, the Schumer shutdown, which by all accounts appears to be on its way to ending. In fact, I saw Congressman Ryan Zinke was on a flight last night back to Washington, D.C., and shared some beautiful photographs, by the way, of the Northern Lights. I'm getting great photos sent to me from folks all across Montana. Some great photographs from Mary in Butte, seeing the Northern Lights in Butte. Even Carrie down in Franny, Wyoming, listening in to KBUL out of Billings, sent some great photos of the Northern Lights down there. But I think Fairmont Hot Springs had the pose of the day. They had some just really cool photographs of the Northern Lights and then the pools and the hot springs and the water slides. Anyway, very cool looking photos out of there. John, did you see the Northern Lights last night yourself?
I did. I thought I saw Uranus too, but I couldn't tell. I was looking really hard.
The moon wasn't out. The moon wasn't out. You needed the moon to be out for that one there, I think. So.
No, all I saw here from the cabin was a slight red glow in the northern sky, but I didn't see all those just fantastic images that a lot of people saw.
It was interesting how far south the northern lights went this time around because, you know, I remember being a kid in Glasgow and we were sleeping in sleeping bags in the back of a pickup in the driveway, and it was just like, remember that movie Tron, the video game Tron? It was like the Tron light show overhead, and it was pointing, you know, up it straight into the sky in a cylindrical fashion. And then, yeah, I was kind of like you. I was in, Kalispell last night, and it was more like green clouds. Still cool, but because usually, you know, it would be the Flathead and the Highline that would get these impressive Northern Lights light shows. But man, Butte and Fairmont Hot Springs and our Billings area listeners just had some incredible light shows last night. John, I wonder this. This is kind of I was going to talk more about the government shutdown here, but I wonder this. For people who are atheist and don't believe in God, or who are agnostic, how do you see a rainbow in the sky and then twist that same symbol into some crazy left-wing political agenda? How do you see something like the Northern Lights and not just sit back and wonder in amazement and think, wow, there is obviously something more to life than this life? I just don't see people how people see these incredible wonders and not and still just think, yep, there's nothing more to life than just this life.
Well, it takes more than that. It takes more than the Northern Lights. And you know what it takes, Aaron, is it takes being in a foxhole, figuratively speaking. Because, you know, like they always say, there's no atheists in foxholes. And even the most hard-bitten cynics of religion, you will see them break. And they will look to the sky and just ask for some kind of divine intervention when they're really, really in trouble. And what does that tell you? They know there's something else. There has to be.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. Well, let's jump into the phone lines here as well. Of course, anytime we have John Jackson on the show, treat it like an open phone show where you and I can have a conversation, where you can jump in on the conversation. And then, of course, we can get John's reaction as well. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I got to sneak on our friend Susan Campbell Renault out of Missoula once again. Susan, thanks for calling in. And by the way, you and your whole crew and the American Legion Post and everybody did such an incredible job for the Veterans Day ceremony and breakfast yesterday in Missoula. Thanks for all you guys do.
Well, I was just calling to thank you so much for making the veterans, who many of them had never been on radio before, and they were terrified. I mean, these are men and women that have been in battle. They have been on ships that were bobbing up and down in the ocean with hurricane force winds, and they've done all kinds of extremely terrifying things, jumping out of airplanes, whatever, and they were more terrified of being on the radio than that.
You can't blame them. Something about that microphone where people are like, okay, you're so used to not talking about things, but it's like, but now it's Veterans Day, it's like, it's okay. You in fact, it's good to talk about this stuff.
Well, and like you and I discussed yesterday, veterans do not like to talk about themselves. They generally are shy, and they loved what they did if they were, you know, whatever they did. And my father, you know, was World War II, Korea, Vietnam. He saw the Battle of Iwo Jima. He saw the first flag go up. He was in the Battle of Okinawa. He went into Japan for 4 years and helped reconstruct it. He did all kinds of things. He was in Korea for 3 years at the DNZ. He was at the DNZ in Da Nang in Vietnam twice. I mean, bad stuff. And he never once talked about it. I knew nothing until he was being buried at Arlington and the commander of the 8th and I handed me his flag and said, "You're not going to believe what your father did."
Yeah. Well, that's what was so cool. That's what was so cool about the Big Sky Honor flights. Becky Hillier and I have talked about this here recently where, you know, the Big Sky Honor flight a little over 10 years ago was, you know, we had World War II veterans that were on the trip being escorted by their grandkids that were Iraq, Afghanistan veterans. And because of that trip and because of the fellow veterans on the trip with them, they opened up and told stories, and with me on the radio at the time, that their families had never heard before, and it was so remarkable. All right, I got to take a quick break here. Susan, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Securing America.
Tuesday, we thank those who secure the country through their military service, honoring our troops on Veterans Day. President Trump spoke at Arlington National Cemetery.
Thank you for your service.
A sentiment echoed by a former Marine, Vice President J.D. Vance.
Thank you for your sacrifice and thank you for making us proud every single day.
Ceremonies were held throughout Washington. At the World War I Memorial, bells sounded at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, signifying the end of that war and the predecessor of Veterans Day, originally called Armistice Day. At the Intrepid Museum in New York, a symbolic message delivered by museum co-chairman Bruce Mosler.
Recognizing that service to country does indeed continue to matter.
Something that remains true every day. Kim Lutzke, Fox News.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. We're going to get to Bob in Bozeman here in just a second. Plus, we've got Diane in Lewistown, Chris in Columbia Falls. So many great callers to get to here this morning. First, though, I got to play this clip for you. In fact, thanks to Susan in Missoula, her phone call reminded me. So yesterday, while we were live on the radio, General Dale Stovall, retired Air Force Brigadier General, incredible guy. We've had him on the show before. I've had the honor of meeting him several times. I've mentioned him on this show. He was in the front row at Arlington National Cemetery yesterday as President Trump recognized him. In fact, at the reason I had first heard about this was at the Missoula Veterans Day ceremony yesterday. The keynote speaker did a wonderful job, by the way, retired Army Colonel Vanessa Berry. Did I get the name right there? Colonel Berry. She did an incredible job, and she was just calling out a number of Montana veterans and a quick little snippet of their story. She mentioned General Dale Stovall's story, and she said, by the way, earlier this morning, President Trump also mentioned General Dale Stovall. Here you go. Here is the audio from the Arlington National Cemetery remarks.
Another person who shows the Medal of the American Veteran is Dale Stovall. As an Air Force helicopter pilot in Vietnam, Captain Stovall was assigned to rescue a downed American airman deep in hostile territory. Despite the extreme peril, Captain Stovall took off in his HH-53C helicopter and soon came under intense fire, forcing him to turn back. But the captain refused to abandon his mission. The next day, he willingly plunged back into the danger while taking fire from all directions. He didn't have a chance, he felt, but he said, "I got to do it." He rescued the downed American pilot who had been stranded on the ground for 23 days and brought him back home alive, completing the deepest rescue behind enemy lines in the entire Vietnam War. For this and 11 other harrowing rescues, he was a brave guy. Dale received the famous Air Force Cross and the Distinguished Flying Cross and two Silver Stars, making him the fourth most combat decorated Air Force Academy grad of all time. He retired as a Brigadier General after 31 years of service. General Stovall, you are a legend. Please, thank you, General Stovall. Thank you very much. Thank you. You look good, General. You look, I wish I looked that good. You look good.
Isn't that great? John, General Stovall, if you meet him, if you've ever met him, yeah, he is still in his fighting shape. That is for sure. What a clip there, though, huh?
And the pilots, particularly your helicopter pilots, don't get enough recognition. And particularly in the modern age of the shoulder-fired rocket, you know, the RPGs, things like that, that landing those things in hot zones and picking up people, dropping them off, and getting out before you get blown up is serious, serious danger. And when you are doing it, say, nighttime operations, things like that, you're talking about not only danger, but the level of skill is just crazy.
Yeah, he's just a great guy. I had served on a military academy nominating board for Congressman Zinke several years ago. I think he was on the board for Senator Steve Daines. And, you know, really helps out any Air Force Academy potential candidates as well. And then somebody else was on those Academy boards back then, an incredible young Marine Corps veteran named Carmen Sheehy. And a lot of people know who Carmen Sheehy is now as well. All right, let's get into your phone calls. We've got Bob in Bozeman listening to 1450 KMMS. Bob, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Well, I wanted to talk about the filibuster because I call it the coward's filibuster, the 60-vote rule. I'm old enough to remember Tip O'Neill and Mansfield, and the filibuster has been around forever. And right now we have a mess of cowards in the Senate who are afraid to get rid of this 60-vote rule because you remain anonymous. Everybody referred to this shutdown as the Schumer shutdown. It was not. It was the Democrat shutdown, but nobody knows that because the Republicans are in power. If the 60-vote rule were done away with and you went back to the old filibuster, you wouldn't get anybody to put in Puerto Rico or Washington, D.C., because they stood up and they talked, and they talked. That's where the word filibuster comes from, is to talk the bill to death. And what we would do is eliminate every Democrat who is voting against it and force them to talk so the Republicans wouldn't take the blame for the shutdown on this one particular issue. But you would not have any fear of any bad legislation because in the minority, you simply talk the bill to death. And I'm old enough that when you live your life in fear, you accomplish nothing. And if you let people stay anonymous, you've got the Internet.
I guess I would agree and then slightly disagree as well. I appreciate your phone call, Bob. Very important topic that you just brought up as well. So thanks for calling in. I would agree, John, in the sense that, like, I do think, unfortunately, it is time to talk about doing away with the filibuster. But where I would slightly disagree is, look, we knew exactly who and which Democrats were shutting down the government. But 80 to 90% of the liberal media mob, their coverage was all trying to blame the Republicans when it very clearly this was a Democrat shutdown. But to this point of doing away with the filibuster, look, here's the deal. Okay, so the government's going to get back up and running. 40 days, the Democrats caused all this chaos for what? And as you pointed out, all they did was put a big shiny spotlight on the fact that they wanted to give our money so that illegal aliens could get free health care. And then they tried to distract away from that fact by putting the spotlight on Obamacare. And then they just put a spotlight on how bad Obamacare is and how unaffordable the so-called Affordable Care Act is. But here's the deal, John. You know as well as I do, and I think you've been posting about this on X, they're going to create this chaos again, and they're going to try to divide the Republicans again. They're going to try to bring the country back into chaos and disorder again. And what are Republicans going to do then? And so, you know, frankly, I think everybody knows fully well any so-called moderate Democrats have been kicked to the curb. If they ever get power of the Senate ever again, they're going to shove this thing down everybody's throats, and then they're going to unleash who knows what kinds of havoc on this country. But now is the time. President Trump is in office. This is America's 250th birthday next year. This is the time to save America. Why would they let this block any more progress and allow them to continue more chaos? You know, how many more times down the road here?
Well, if you were going to nuke the filibuster to get your agenda through, that should have been communicated back in February, March okay, get everybody in a room, make sure Thune has at least 50 people on board and go forward. But see, they don't. You've already got 24, you know, half the Republican caucus out there is saying they won't do that. And the only reason to do it anyway is to blast through your agenda, is to just run the table with your agenda. If you're nuking a filibuster just to open the government, Dave, that's just a no-go right there.
Well, and I think to your point, nobody wants to do it on the conservative side, but it's got to get to the point where they realize they have no other option. And the American people need to be fully aware that, like, every other resource has been exhausted at this point. The other thing I think here is, you know, when we look at the midterm elections, the Democrat voter base, this far-left Democrat voter base, what motivates them to get out to the polls? What excites them? Chaos, disorder, the BLM riots, the violent attacks against law enforcement, ICE agents, etc. The government shutdown got them excited. That's why they waited until after Tuesday's elections to finally end the government shutdown. On the contrast, what excites us? What excites the rest of the American people? Accomplishment, achievement, progress, getting things done. So why allow them to continue causing chaos that motivates their base and blocking progress that depresses our base?
Oh, I'm there with you. Trust me, if I was king of the world, I would definitely make this happen. I'm just saying that you've got half of the Republican caucus up there. See, the dirty secret is that those people, they don't like me and you. They don't like Trump. They are big system uniparty jackasses who conspire with the Democrats every day of the week, and they don't want any of this. They want it to go back to how it was.
Well, and thankfully, I mean, and this is where I give big credit to Senator Daines and Jason Thielman, who was the, you know, executive director of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. The newer senators are tougher, they're bolder, and finally we're starting to see that turnover where these old washouts, are going to slowly but surely get out to pasture. But I think we're seeing strength fundamentally because of Donald J. Trump. I know you've made that point. But also, I think we've got a better freshman crop of U.S. senators as well. Let's go to Diane in Lewistown next up on the phone lines. Diane, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, the gentleman that answered the phone is super kind. I love talking to him.
He's a great young man. That's right. Caden Bjornstedt's his name. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So anyway, I'm not from this neck of the woods, what have you, but I've lived here about 8 years. And I seem to have problems getting this answer or question answered. It's got nothing to do with what y'all have been talking about.
That's okay.
I'm just wondering why the High Line is called the High Line.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love the High Line. My two favorite pizza places are on the High Line. I consider anything that's a part of Highway 2 the High Line. That might be slightly controversial. If you had any guesses, Diane, why do you think they call it the High Line?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It's just because it's, up there in the north part of the state. That's the only thing I could figure out.
Yeah, but, well, there's that and the fact that you have got a railroad line that runs all the way across there. You've got, and I've taken the Empire Builder along that entire rail line, and it's such a fun train trip, by the way. And then you've got Highway 2 that runs all the way across, that line up there. But I think it's mostly the railroad influence and the high latitude or route that goes all the way across that that High Line, which gave it the name the High Line. But I'll look for
this is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Now that the Senate has passed a funding bill to end the government shutdown, the House is expected to vote today. Attention turns to what it means for agriculture. The measure does extend the 2018 Farm Bill through fiscal year 26 and fully funds USDA operations. It provides $107 billion for SNAP food assistance, replenishes WIC and SNAP reserves, and allocates $30 billion a year to Commodity Credit Corporation funding for farm and conservation programs. It also includes $10 billion for the Farm Service Agency loans, ensuring FSA county offices stay open, and directs USDA to step up tracking of foreign-owned farmland. The bill also sets aside $850 million for NRCS technical assistance and $3.8 billion for agricultural research. $1.2 billion was also allocated to USDA APHIS to fight avian flu, chronic wasting disease, New World screwworm, and other threats. Another $13.5 million was set aside to help ranchers purchase electronic identification tags for livestock traceability. Rural Development will receive $4.1 billion overall, supporting housing, business loans, and critical infrastructure in small rural communities. The bill also provides $1.2 billion for the Food for Peace program and $240 million for the McGovern-Dole School Feeding Program, with oversight for that program moving to USDA. I'm Lane Northland.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, before we get to our next caller here, John, we got to give a quick shout-out here to our producer, Caden Bjornsted. Diane, thanks for the nice phone call there. That was fun talking about the High Line. Yeah, I consider anything on Highway 2 the High Line, by the way. So Moose's Pizza just south of Highway 2, that's the High Line if you ask me. And Eugene's Pizza just south of High, that's definitely High Line right there. But John, man, you were there last week. The phone lines weren't working, and this is a radio talk show. We need the phone lines, right? And so, yeah, you were there sidekicking with David Noble, but you got to see the chaos firsthand because, you know, here's Caden. He's got to do everything he's got to do to produce this show. And then the phone lines don't work. He didn't break them. He can't fix them, but he's got to try to figure out. And then, you know, none of the backups were working either. So, nonetheless, he fought through it and pushed through it, and the show went on, and I got some great feedback. So big shout out to Caden.
Yeah, I've watched Caden over the last, month, 5-6 weeks. He pretty much gets his cardio in the morning. He gets that knocked out in the morning because he's running literally. I mean, I kid you not.
Nonstop.
From his office into the studio, back over to the main computer banks, and back and forth. It's like an obstacle course where he's just running and touching the thing and going back and forth. He's got his cardio in it at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, yeah, we should all wear, whenever you guest host the show, you should wear one of those like step counters, because it's the same thing. The breaks are so quick too, to where it's like, my wife was making fun of me because when I go downstairs to make coffee, I'm like yelling at the coffee maker, hurry up, I've only got a quick break, you know. Come on, you know, I want Holyfield. I'm like Chris Farley playing General Schwarzkopf in Desert Storm, waiting for the coffee to brew, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, just pour that stuff through a sock. Give me a sock, and I'll just pour some water through the grounds in a sock.
That's actually a genius idea. Did you ever try that overseas at all? That sounds like a Veterans Day hack for next year, maybe.
Oh, big time. Yeah, you do what you have. Yeah.
All right, back on the phone lines we go. We've got George on the phone lines. Not sure what town George is calling from. It just says in the West. George, what's going on? What's on your mind?
I'd like to start out by saying thank you to your staff for the great service you do to the whole state.
Thank you.
And thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thanks to all, yeah.
Is it possible in any way to have someone from one of our office either guess or get a fairly accurate account of how much the government is spending because of this shutdown? Because I'm certain that the cost to the government is significant, but for 43 days or 44 days, if they could estimate how much this cost the taxpayers to pay for no work.
Yeah, great question. Great question. I'm going to ask Grok. That's Elon Musk's AI platform that's built into X. And oftentimes, these AI platforms, you always got to double check it because sometimes the info is good. Sometimes you're like, yeah. But John Jackson, any thoughts? And George, thanks for the call.
I'm pretty sure I saw that graphic on Fox News yesterday that it was $11 billion that has been lost in the shutdown.
$11 billion. Okay. Well, that's a lot of money, obviously. I don't want to downplay that, but New York and New Jersey. So let's put that number in perspective. Think about all of the people that are fleeing New York and New Jersey because of the far left takeover in those states. This is from Stephen Moore's Unleash Prosperity Hotline, John. New York and New Jersey have lost $670 billion, with a B, of income from people that have moved out. Apparently, this was featured in the New York Post this morning, or yesterday morning, apparently, here. $670 billion.
That seems crazy to us, right? But today's modern-day Democrat, Socialist, Communists, that's what they want, Aaron. They want these places to just become gigantic New Delhi-style ghettos. And they'd be happy as hell if all the money ran away, because then they're just going to tap the welfare state to to be supporting all of these people in perpetuity, so that they may have one giant, solid, permanent underclass to vote for them. They, believe it or not, they don't care about that anymore. This ain't your granddad's Democrat Party.
Yeah. Well, and that is by design. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Obamacare, or it's called the Affordable Care Act. Well, I talked with a caller earlier this morning who made a great point, who said, why do they call it the Affordable Care Act? Why do they have to keep subsidizing something called the Affordable Care Act? Because it's not affordable, because it's been destroying health care. But that's their plan all along. We said that back in 2012 in the middle of this debate. They are thrusting Obamacare on the American people so they can destroy health care, so that they can force people into their socialized medicine. The problem is government. That's the problem here. And their subsidies were only going to make things worse, as we pointed out here over the past few weeks.
When you realize, when you can see the end, when you can see where they're heading, all of this makes sense. When you finally understand that every single thing they do is designed to topple this government, bring it down so that they can usher in European-style socialism and get rid of this pesky constitution and all these pesky individual rights we have, then you understand what they're doing in every single avenue of their agenda.
Well, John, I know you wanted to kind of share some thoughts on last week's municipal elections here in Montana, some of the big mayoral races in particular. Plus, I think we now have Caden snagged that audio that you shared with him of President Trump in the Oval Office yesterday. So we'll try to play that one for our listeners and get your reactions as well. First, though, let's go back in the phone lines. We got Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, what's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, Aaron, a few things. many years ago, you know, I've told you about my Uncle George, who died in the beach. My mother was an American Legion during the 40s and part of the 50s. She was working with the American Legion, and my grandmother, she was a Gold Star mother. We had in a small town, we had a DAV hall, which I got married in on October 1st, 1960.
Wow.
I married a great lady, mind, body, and soul. And shows you that sometimes the service never ends and it goes a different way. So, I mean, you know, it was a great thing to see that they was able to still, you know, stay with the program. You know, it's a shame that there's so many things going on now that need attention to, like stealing money, stealing people or embezzling money. And it's right here in the state of Montana. So, you know, and I was reading an article on narcissists. Why do they do things the way they do? And there's a connecting dot there, you know, between, you know, thou shalt not steal, and it's a. You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, only a fool in his heart and says there is no God. I went to the Museum of on the Rockies one year, and I stood there in the middle of it, and they were taking the camera, running through the whole universe as they know it, and they focused in on one spot and said that's the only spot that can sustain life. I don't think most people got that, you know, but a fool knows it in the heart, so we. You keep searching for things like that, and you'll see
Eric Metaxas has an incredible book. We had him on the show, two or three years ago. He was the keynote speaker at the Billings Christian School fundraising banquet, and he wrote a book, Is Atheism Dead? And the scientific facts and background that are in that book, my goodness. You looked at those northern lights last night, you see a rainbow in the sky, and the way the left tries to twist that symbol. How can you not see something like that in the sky and say, wow, there's got to be more to life than just this life? And then you read these stats and these, and how remarkable it is that life can even exist on planet Earth right now. And anyway, so it's an amazing book. If you haven't read it, Eric Metaxas, Is Atheism Dead? Chris, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. John Jackson, 30 seconds before the break, your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the best things I ever saw was from one of my favorite shows, Dexter, in which he is a serial killer and a resolute atheist. And right up until his son is in the hospital and maybe near death. And he just looked at a vending machine and said, God, you know, tell me what to do. I'll do it. Just tell me what you need from me and I'll do it. And, you know, here, like I said, here's a guy who's a sociopath. But in his darkest hour, he looked upwards.
How many people it takes until we get to that darkest hour when we finally look up? And, you know, great point. All right, stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I was joking yesterday at the American Legion Post 27 in Missoula, where we did our Veterans Day show from, the night before they had their Marine Corps ball there. John, can you believe this? They had a Marine Corps ball at the very same place the night before we did our show early the next morning, and there wasn't a Marine passed out on the floor or in the bathroom or out front on the front steps. Can you believe that? It's like they cleaned up all their tracks. No evidence left behind.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing, isn't it? I mean, you at least wanted to see some, you know, you want to see some vomit, you know, somebody, you know, laying beside the toilet bowl there or something.
What has happened to the Marines? No. Well, I was going to joke. I was laughing about that. I was going to send a note to our friend Lee Ettinger, lives in Big Fork. He's the Marine Corps veteran who founded the Power Plus Pain Aid. And I was like, Lee, I think all your Marines are drinking the Power Plus Pain Aid because, you know, they got that quick energy drink. They got those pain-relieving vitamins. And boom, they were all cleaned out following the Marine Corps ball. They were able to pick themselves back up. Not one Marine left back on the floor the following morning. So it's got to be the Power Plus Pain Aid. That's what I'm going to go with. Hey, by the way, if you're a Marine or anybody else out there that hasn't checked out Power Plus Pain Aid, that's what it is. It's an energy drink combined with natural pain-relieving vitamins. Go to drinkpowerplus.com and enter the code Flint15 for 15% off. There you go, Flint15 at drinkpowerplus.com. All right, John, give us your real quick, Jeff in Kalispell left a message. He says, hey, everybody should watch a program. It's called The Last 600 Meters. It deals with the attacks in Fallujah in 2004. It's a newer release now available on PBS. That reminds me as well. How come none of our Marine Corps friends in the Flathead gave me the heads up? Apparently, Marine Corps General Conway was the keynote speaker of the Marine Corps ball in the Flathead, and nobody hooked a brother up to have him join us on the radio. But that's all right. Just do some push-ups or something to make up for it. John, give us your take on the municipal elections. A big mayor race in Billings, a big mayoral race in Kalispell. Unfortunately, our side just does not come out in these off-year elections the way they do in the big presidential elections. That's the biggest takeaway from my standpoint.
Yeah, it's here a couple of weeks ago when I was filling in for you. We were hitting this every hour and letting everybody know what to do and all these things. And the biggest thing we were telling everybody to do is make sure now you had to put your birth year on the outside of the envelope, a new procedure. Well, as you just said, Aaron, I guess, you know, these stats were passed to me by my friends in Yellowstone County. The Democrats won the mayor race, and you know what? They won it by 177 votes. And even worse, there were 700 votes out there that were disqualified because of whatever reason, but quite a few of them were people not putting their birth year on the outside of the envelope, and then some people being notified of this and refusing to come in and change it.
Oh, so
they were told,
hey, you screwed up your ballot. You didn't put your birth year on. Go in, fix it so your vote gets counted. And they're like, nah.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah, and I mean, just shameful. Just shameful. I mean, I understand that some people weren't able to be contacted and all that and didn't know they messed up. I get that. But if you were contacted and you knew you messed up and didn't change it, that's just a shame on you.
Put your big boy pants on. All right, we're getting short on time. You sent an audio clip of President Trump in the Oval Office yesterday. Was this yesterday or was it the day before? And anyway, set the scene for us before I play the clip, why you thought this was hilarious.
Well, President Trump has got the new president of Syria in the Oval Office with him, and the guy is a camel jockey terrorist, okay? But he's the new president, and they're trying to be nice to him. Well, he's giving the guy some cologne, some of his Trump cologne, and he squirts it with him. He squirts it on him, and he says the other one. He does his Rodney Dangerfield bit because he says the other one is for your wife. Wait, how many wives do you have? One, you know, with you guys, you never know.
Hey, you two need a room. Hey, you need a warehouse, right? Yeah. All right, let me play the clip here since we're getting short on time.
This is men's fragrance. Okay. Called it. Yeah. No. It's the best fragrance.
Come here, thank you.
I have more here, sir. Take some of them. Okay? So what we'll do is just take that, Joe, put it in, and then the other one is for your wife. How many wives?
One.
Your wife.
I never know.
Oh, anyway, it looks like we got the best part there. John, I was dying. Oh, my. You hear the... You can either hear the sniffing even.
Oh, my God. I swear, he can do the best Rodney Dangerfield bit on these people sometimes. It's hilarious.
Could you imagine if the Syrian president was there and was asked to sniff something when Joe Biden was in office? They'd be like, no, mister, no sniff. They'd think Hunter was in the
Joe Biden be sniffing his wife. If Biden be sniffing his wife or sniffing his little daughter, there you go.
Hunter, sniff this. No, sir. No, thank you. No sniffy. No sniff. All right, John, thanks. That was hilarious. How did I miss that one? Oh, man. See, that's what happens when you're busy traveling and trying to put a whole show together on the road, man. That was hysterical. By the way, credit to Eric Doherty via X, who had that video. Mom.